Going to be you a chance to win all of this week in association with Swing, and they're located in Oranmore. And basically, Swing is one of Ireland's premier indoor golf facilities, now open in Oranmore. They have six state-of-the-art simulator bays, powered by the latest TrackMan technology, which caters for golf enthusiasts of all skill levels. You can practice like a pro. You can play iconic courses such as St Andrews, Adair, Pebble Beach. That'd be nice. Or you can avail of golf lessons with their pro as well. Swing is open until 10 p.m. and can cater for corporate group bookings and parties. Further details can be had by going to swinggolf.ie. So there's two G's in the middle there. And they're based in Oranmore, swinggolf.ie or 087-681-7148. We ask you a very simple question. You could win yourself a €100 voucher to go along to swinggolf.ie and book yourself in there Monday to Friday if you want to get details. So today's question then is, what is the name of the golf competition played between Europe and America? What is the name of the golf competition played between Europe and America? If you know the answer, send it now by text or WhatsApp to 086 38 33 553. That's quite simply 086 38 33 553. Brian Hanley joins you on the line. Brian, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us today on the programme. There's been calls on Minister Carol McNeill, indeed, to make good on her promise of saving policyholders when it comes to insurance policies. Has she failed, can I ask you, from an Insurance Alliance point of view?
Well, a lot of store has been put, indeed by successive ministers interested in the area of insurance, on the revision of the duty of care, which, as you know, has passed the Oireachtas last evening. So with that passed, I think that it's necessary now for her to use this reform to leverage reductions in insurance costs immediately. The risk, for example, associated now with every new or renewed policy for small businesses, charities, sporting groups and so on has just reduced significantly. And this needs to be immediately reflected in premiums paid by policyholders. And Minister McNeill has given assurances that she will be putting pressure on insurers that they do so.
But Brian, with all due respect, and the Insurance Alliance and yourself and others have done a huge amount of work on this to get it to where it is today. But I mean, how can a minister put pressure on insurance companies, or she will be accused of interfering in their profitability? I mean, when you say she's got leverage, I mean, she can do what she can do, but she cannot force them to reduce. And we see that time and time again.
Well, certainly a number of reasons have been given over many years as to why premiums are as they are in this country. But significant changes have been made. For example, in PIAB's recent figures, you know, the volume of claims that have come in are down over 40% in the last 5 or 6 years. And indeed, the size of awards is down a similar number. We now also have a Garda fraud insurance unit. And now with the duty of care, there are fewer and fewer excuses not to pass on savings to policyholders.
There are, but they'll say it's profitability and it's shareholders. Brian, you and I are long enough around that we know the speak at this stage that they're going to utter from their mouths.
Well, I think a lot of store was put on the duty of care by insurers that this was a key component before they could pass on savings. And so now I think they're running out of road in that respect because we do have the duty of care. What is important, though, of course, for it to amount to anything is that Minister McEntee would, of course, commence this aspect of the legislation without any delay and then for Minister McNeill to take the baton from there.
Yeah, it's important because, I mean, did I hear you correctly there that you can see policies coming down anyway because of PIAB and structures and court case being thrown out and people are being held accountable?
Actually, well, that's the piece that's missing. So there have been considerable reforms. It really has been a whole of society effort, whether it's the new Garda unit or the changes in the judicial guidelines to reduce premiums, to bring them more into line with other Western countries. So there have been all these reductions, and yet premiums, particularly in the area of liability, has not come down. Now, of course, another element of that is the need for additional competition in the liability market. And this is also something that we'll be speaking to Minister McNeill about and have done on a regular basis to increase competition in the market.
But who's going to come in when they see such a market in Ireland? I mean, we've had people come and go, and we've bailed them out, actually, Brian, if one wants to be truthful about it. So Like, where do you go knocking on a door as a government or as a unit, the Insurance Alliance, and inviting insurance companies into this country to kind of shake it up?
Well, the IDA has been specifically tasked with attracting new insurers into the market. And it's also fair to say that the insurance, it's a much more attractive market for insurers now because of those the reduction in the number of claims, because of the rebalancing of the duty of care and the reduction in the wards resulting from the judicial guidelines. So I'd suggest it's actually a much more attractive market now than it ever has been, or has been in a very long time, certainly.
But again, insurance claims, and you know, we hear of inflated claims for repair of vehicles, we hear of car hire, we hear of all of these situations from there. Are the insurance companies regulated tightly enough, not just from a financial point of view, but from a moral point of view as to what they charge and what they pay?
Well, insurance fraud is an issue, but there is the Garda Insurance Fraud Unit now, and I think what's probably true to say is that not as many cases are being referred to that unit as insurance companies say there are in existence. They would talk of, you'd hear numbers of up to 20% of claims being fraudulent or exaggerated. And yet, if one were to look at the CSO figures, less than 1% of claims are actually referred to the Garda Fraud Unit.
Which is a very low amount, but is it enough to frighten people?
Well, time will tell on that score, and certainly we would think that what this does now with the change in the duty of care, it really marks, and Minister McNeill said it herself, this has to mark a change in culture, a shift in the paradigm now in terms of people taking more personal responsibility for their actions. Mm. It isn't that a duty of care won't exist to people. And one of the most welcome features, I think, as well, is around the voluntary assumption of risk. I think it's a very positive development where people can decide for themselves, you know, what activities they enjoy and want to engage in, and balance it with any perceived or actual increase in risk. And this is for individuals to make those decisions.
Now, the Alliance for Insurance Reform have done a huge amount of work on this over the last 10 years, I would think. And it has been to the forefront when it comes to reform.
Yes, we've been working for a number of years now to bring about. I mean, the Alliance has 48 members and represents over 1.7 million people across the country, whether that's small businesses, charities, sporting groups, arts and cultural agencies. And really, it serves to highlight how many people are adversely impacted by high insurance premiums.
Mm. Came across a case recently, indeed, of a member of the farming community, and somebody decided to break into their yard and do a little bit of thieving, Brian, just a little bit of thieving altogether, and was climbing out over the fence and fell and got hurt, and actually took a case against the farmer for the injury in question, which I thought was very cheeky, and was never prosecuted by the Gardaí.
Well, I know with the changes to the legislation around duty of care, it also revises any liability that an occupier might have to trespassers. So we would think that this will further diminish their right to make claims, and see that as another positive development in the legislation.
Where can people get further details on this, can I ask you?
It'll be found on the government website, and we'll be sharing it on social media channels throughout the day.
So yeah, and it's keep up the good work. I mean, you've done Trojan work yourself, and your colleagues indeed have done Trojan work down through the years, but just keep it up from there, because if we see a reduction in policies, I think we'll all be very happy. And I think if we see manners put on insurance companies, I think we'll be even happier again.
Thank you very much indeed. We'll continue to raise this issue for as long as it's needed.
No pressure, Brian, by the way, but thank you for what you do on an ongoing basis, and thank you so much for joining us today on the programme. Comment lines open if you want to get through to us, and thanks to Brian Handley for joining us there from the Alliance for Insurance Reform today. The text line, by the way, for that question, if you want to get in contact with us, is 086 38 33 553 in association with Swing Golf in Oranmore, County Galway. What is the name of the golf competition played between Europe and America? If you think you know what it is, it's not the Sondheim Cup. No, it's not. Go again. That's what we say. Try again. If you keep on trying, you'll get there eventually. Anyway, let me move on today, because I want to go to Dave O'Connell, who joins me. on the line today. Dave, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us today on the programme. Can you hear me okay there, Dave?
I can indeed. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Would you know the answer to that question, by the way, would you?
I now know it's not the Solheim Cup.
Did I have to tell you, really and truly? From there.
Sure. Look, I mean, my knowledge, as anyone who knows me will tell you, is very limited on a lot of things. That's just one area.
Now, listen, you have a mighty Crockwell woman on the front page, say, fresh from driving her Ferrari around Mondello Park ahead of her birthday. God bless her and fair play to her.
Well, it's the fact that it's her 83rd birthday that's coming up on this one. She won't be 83. Maeve Keane, we're talking about. She won't be 83 until October. Having done the Ferrari trip and by her own admission, frightened the life out of her co-pilot on this one going around Mondello, she's going to mark her 83rd birthday with a hot air balloon ride, as indeed you do. The only reason that she is not doing a bungee jump is apparently it's been ruled out on medical grounds. Her trip to Mondello was actually an 80th birthday present from her great friends Kathleen Raftery and Mary Carr, only it had to wait until now because of COVID and other impediments. It was well worth the wait, as you can see from the photograph in the front. Maeve had not one but three trips around the fact, culminating in a go in a bright red Ferrari F 430 Spider. Now, I know what a red Ferrari is. I've no idea what an F 430 Spider. I'd have to be up before the Dáil Committee on Public Accounts on a big salary in order to know what that kind of thing is. But it's a great story, and she's a lovely woman, and long may she continue to lap every track that she comes in contact with.
Yeah, but I thought you had a little red Corvette, did you not?
I know that song. Yeah, I know that song.
That Prince, wasn't it? Little Red Corvette.
It was.
Listen, sticking to the script on this one, Finnegan, let's go back to headlines on this one. And for good measure as well, you've got Kieran Cannon inside as he prepares to cycle through every county in Ireland this weekend, exactly 2 years after he was badly injured off his bike in Mycullen.
Yeah, and you'll remember the crash, as you say, cycling through Mycullen. He was hit by an SUV, suffered serious leg injuries, required surgery for that, and indeed, but for the grace of God, it could have been an awful lot worse. But Kieran being Kieran, he's marking the second anniversary in a most positive way, although I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. He's going to cycle through every county in Ireland over 48 hours. That's 900 kilometres, all in aid of Hand in Hand, the great Galway Cancer Support Charity. He's a familiar figure on his bike on the roads anyway, but this is the longest cycle he's ever attempted. So he heads off tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock from Clare, completes the journey in Galway on Sunday evening, very tired 48 hours later.
And I'll ring him at 7:30 Monday morning to see if he has any thoughts on the other committee as well. Listen, you also revealed the identity of the family who have won the prize of a rent-free house for a year by moving their children to a school in Joyce Country, which is a lovely story.
It is a great story, and you'll remember because we spoke about it before. This was an effort to save a teacher in a school by offering a family a rent-free house for 12 months, provided they moved into the area and provided they had kids of primary school going age. So Isabel Fortes and Miguel Anguel Ross and their five children aged from 9 to 5, they will relocate from northern Spain to Clockbrack outside Clonbore in August. They beat off nearly 1,200 families who had applied for this offer of the free house for a year, and in the process, more importantly perhaps, Scoldney Porrick now has the numbers to save their second teacher. It has been a phenomenal story, and you can see how the winners were chosen on page 3 today.
So they'll be working 9 to 5, the 9 to 5 children age bracket, they'll be going. All these musical, they're coming into my head as we speak.
They're all old songs, I noticed, by the way. There's nothing from the charts currently, and I don't know any of them either.
That's okay. We'll find out from my young colleague outside about the current charts. Listen, your lead story is from the Galway Chambers Housing Conference this week and how the lack of available accommodation is frustrating business development. And it really is.
Yeah, and you've heard this story, and I heard it on the news headlines again there on Galway Bay. But Galway is building less than half the number of housing units it requires each year, and this is causing, as you say, major staffing problems for companies and businesses around the city and county. This was what came out of the think tank that the Galway Chamber organised on housing during the week. They say that we need about 3,000 residential units to be built each year. In 2022, we built 1,334, and Kenny Deary, the Chamber CEO, told the meeting that this lack of accommodation around the city and the county was impacting on the ability of enterprises to hire workers. Now, obviously, that's just one consequence of the housing crisis, but it is the basis of the front page story today.
Absolutely. Now, mixed weekend in sport, and the All-Ireland front is reflected in sport in today's Connacht Tribune.
Yeah, I mean, there's another song comes to mind here, and I shouldn't do this one for John Morley, but will Galway beat Mayo? And obviously that didn't happen. Footballers losing out to them. The hurlers did see off tip, and John McIntyre was at both venues. You can read his take on the good and the bad this week. Indeed, he was a busy man because he was also covering the launch of the Galway races. 2.1 million in prize money there, whetting the appetite, and plenty as well on Galway United, on athletics, and Phelan na Gael, a great weekend for Turley Moore and Nathan Rye on that front.
And what else have you got in today's jam-packed Tribune?
There's a lot in there, Keith. Sticking with sport, Mullia GA Club will host a very special event next March. Three international rules matches between Irish and Australia Masters. In other words, players of a slightly more seasoned vintage. Excuse me. And it's an interesting story as to why Mullia will host 150 visiting Australians, because it's a connection that goes back through time, and the square is being circled on this one. We've been talking as well with Claire Ann Irwin, the current Galway Rose, who is, as you know, by profession an embalmer and an undertaker. And it's a really interesting piece about a family business that stretches back through the ages, but also how you comfort the dying and how people's faith shines through. So a nice piece on that. The verdict on the Michael Scott manslaughter case as well, and 6 pages of court from Gort, Ballinasloe, Toom, Derryna, Clifton and the city as well. As I always say, they're the pages you don't want to be seen on, but there's plenty to be seen on them today.
All right. By the way, I just had a quick Google there as to, you know, current songs, and I would often home Miley Cyrus Flowers. You know, that they're looking so good.
I'm sure there's a treatment for that, but I can't think what it might be.
Weed killer. Good luck. Thanks for joining us today on the programme. David Connell joining us. Connacht Tribune is early, and there's loads more within it, and plenty indeed when it comes to court as well, but loads more there as well. Tomorrow morning we look at the City Tribune headlines. We're going to speak indeed about the loss of a legend indeed who has made a huge impact when it comes to politics, and we'll go to that next. Stay tuned for that and more to come.
Galway Talks in association with Tesco and their sizzling fire pit barbecue range. That's dinner sorted.
Good morning to you. Well, a lady was a regular visitor to Ireland and would come into studio from time to time, and kindly, very kindly invited myself and many people indeed to London, into the major house, the House of Commons, and it happened a good few years ago. But her name was Margaret McDonagh. She'd be a native of the Oughterard area. And herself and her sister Siobhan were heavily involved in politics. But she was then known to us as the wonderful Baroness Margaret McDonagh, the first female General Secretary of the Labour Party. But she died recently at the age of 61. She was a key figure in the party under Sir Tony Blair's leadership and played a central role in both 1997 and 2001 general election. Unfortunately, she was diagnosed with brain cancer in 2021, but she was here and she spent a lot of time here, and recently enough she was here as well. She was cared for by many people, including her wonderful sister Siobhan McDonagh, the Labour MP from Mitcham and Morden, and we have to think of them today. But I was listening indeed and reading some of the tributes paid to her by Sir Tony Blair, and he tells a very light-hearted story as to when he was elected in the 1997 election, and she came in and basically berated him and told him that we can't let the country down and we can't let the party down, and she didn't hold back. Her first cousin, another man that doesn't hold back either, is Councillor Tom Welby, who joins me on the line today, and they were first cousins, and it was he that made the introduction first to Margaret and Siobhan as well. And condolences, Tom, but she made a huge impact on Britain and politics in general.
Yeah. Sorry, Keith, can you hear me okay?
I can. Can you come off hands-free if you're on hands-free? Would you mind?
No, I'm not on hands-free. No. I'm actually, but the line is very, I can just barely hear you, but are you okay? You can hear me okay?
I can just, yeah, we'll see how it goes from there. Yeah, the line's
okay,
very low.
Okay, well, Keith, look, this woman was an extraordinary woman in relation to it, and unfortunately, unfortunately, she died on Saturday morning, and it was her birthday the next day. And they had they were organising a birthday party, and in true Irish fashion, it effectively turned out to be her wake. But, you know, she had an extraordinary career. She was the youngest, she was the first female and youngest secretary of the Labour Party from 1998 to 2001. And that was the time that you had New Labour. And she has been, I mean, she has been attributed in relation to helping Labour, you know, really helping Labour to get the landslide election victory in 1997.
Mm.
And because they were so successful in the 97 election, it guaranteed them that they were going to be in government again in 2001, and that's effectively what happened. Now, I just barely heard you mention there in relation to Tony Blair. You know, Tony Blair did say that he felt very happy after the election, and, you know, within 3 weeks afterward, Margaret came into the office, and she basically lambasted him to say that he wasn't doing enough, that he, you know, that he wasn't looking after the party people that put him in there. But, you know, both sisters are, Siobhan, her sister, was the youngest Labour councillor elected in 1982, and she was also elected in 1997 in the landslide, the victory. And, you know, I've been reading some of the acknowledgements from her party colleagues and her opposition, and they truly said that she was an extraordinary woman. You know, Lord Mandelson was the Labour campaign director in 97, and he said of Margaret, she was a tour de force. She ran Millbank, and that was the Labour Party headquarters, in 1997, with an iron rod of iron, yeah. And everyone was terrified of her, including me.
Yeah, but if you go back to her roots, though, Tom,
extremely generous person, and you know, her uncle was married to my aunt, and that's how the connection is. Martin McDonagh was married to my aunt Nellie. But when Margaret came to Oughterard, you know, she was very, she was very devoted to Nellie, her aunt in relation to her. And, you know, she would mix with anybody in Oughterard. Like, we used to go to one of the local pubs regularly, and she could sit up at the bar and she could talk to whoever would be on her left, whoever would be on her right. And, you know, she just was a happy person in relation to her. And she was so generous and extremely, there was no airs or graces to her in any shape or form, you know. And like, even when Oughterard got into the All-Ireland final for the intermediate, it was the first time attending a GA match in Ireland, but she came back for it. You know, there was a man there in Oughterard, Tommy Malloy. She learned how to drive in Tommy's fields in Glen, driving around with Coxa Hay, and every time she came back, she'd have a little present for Tommy, and everybody in Oughterard didn't know what that present was, because Tommy always liked the same present. You know, but she would always come. And in 2012, she came to Oughterard and she visited me, and I said to her, I said, look, I might be the mayor in June. And she said, well, if you are, we'll have an event for you. And it turned out that we were in London in December that year, and she really looked after us. And we had a huge, you were there, Keith, and, you know, people said to me in relation to Oughterard, we got 3 days of wall-to-wall exposure in relation to Oughterard. I mean, one or two people said to me after, my God, she said, I couldn't understand that we'd ever get as much exposure in relation to it. And that was all down to Margaret in relation to just organising this. And she had a huge crowd in there. And the connections were amazing. Like, Lord Kennedy is from, his mother's from Invern. John Reid, former Northern Ireland Secretary, his mother's Moffley. Lord Mandelson was there. But the Irish connections all through this was,
yeah,
was phenomenal. Like, Deputy Grealish was there. Chris Ruan was there. He's an MP. His uncle, Paddy Ruan, was in Galway County Council with my father, you know. But, like, she was an exceptional woman in relation to it. And when she was diagnosed with cancer, she told her sister, Siobhan, you know, she said, Siobhan, I've achieved everything I wanted to do. And she had achieved it all by the age of 30. Which, you know, phenomenal.
And can I ask you, just in relation to her funeral, hasn't taken place yet.
Can you hear me?
That's a landline that we're on. Can we try and just get him on the mobile line, and I'll shut that down then? I'll shut that down so I have, because that's a landline. That's a physical landline we're going to. I'll just try and go just to shut it down. I'll just try and go to the landline if we could at all, or the mobile if we could at all there, just to try and get him back up again. I'll try him on WhatsApp, yeah. Let me just see, can I try him on WhatsApp and see from there. Sorry about this, but whatever is happening, and we just try here and here and see, can I make it a little bit different altogether, because the quality of the line going in there is just shocking. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Sorry,
no. No, I couldn't interact with you. Whatever that landline, you'll have to throw it out the window. I remember the event, and I remember going into the Commoner's Bar with her, and I remember spending some time with her, quite a bit of time. But she had that warm feeling, God bless her, about her. But I remember in the night in question, they would only take cash in the bar, and I walked down with her down to St. Paul's, near St. Paul's Cathedral, not St. Paul's, but down at Safoya, and I walked down with her, and she put her card into the machine, she got the money out, and she came back up and she paid the bar bill.
Yeah. I mean, Keith, that was the woman I knew, you know. I mean, I can't recognize these, the comments that they're saying about, and running the organization, the labor organization, with a rod of steel. But that's the way she was, you know. When there was whatever she was faced with, she took it on head. And when, you know, there was no, from Margaret's perspective, there was no such thing as second. It was always first, yeah, on the basis that, you know, whatever, yeah, she wanted, she got. And I mean, all of this came around. I mean, I was just reading an article there recently, when she was a young child with her sister Siobhan, her father was instrumental in raising money for St. Joseph, the church in Collier Woods. And they used to go around on a Sunday with their father, and they were in the prams, and they'd be collecting the money for the church, and they reckon that's what gave them the impetus when people start getting involved in politics, they're awful worried about interacting with people and going door to door. You know, they just find it very alien. But these people, Margaret and her sister were doing it at 6 or 7 years of age, and they were used to it. But that's the way they were, and she went, you know, the second generation Ireland. She's gone from, I without doubt, when Tony Blair was Prime Minister, she would have been the most powerful lady in England. She would control it, because general secretaries of parties have more access to the leaders than the vast majority of MPs.
Now, it was a private eulogy indeed he gave at her wake. Yes. And I mean, to be honest, it's not in the public domain and won't be in the public domain, but I had the privilege of seeing it, and I have to say, it would do your heart good, because he was human, and he spoke about a human being, and he referred to her sister Siobhan beside her, who must be really hurting. I was asking you before the line dropped there, will you make it to the funeral?
Yeah, I hope. Well, it's on the 19th. It's clashing with an AGM I have here, but I'm going to try and change that. But I do want to go over, because she's been very good to me, and like anybody that knew Margaret was, she was such a lovely person in relation to it. And I mean, you couldn't imagine that she was involved in the, so much involved in the height of the politics in relation to it. But yet she was such a lovely person. And I mean, the tributes that are coming forward after her, because I can see it. She moved on then, and she became very involved in a lot of things. But one of the things that she did was to work with women, to empower them to make, to be better. And I mean, the comments I'm on a WhatsApp
group. Give them confidence. She was very good friends with Mo Molan as well. And ironically, they both died from the same form of cancer.
Yes. And unfortunately, that cancer is terminal. Yeah. You get nine months, but Margaret got, Margaret being Margaret, I think she nearly got nearly 2 years out of it. And, she did an awful lot of things. She came back here and she spent a week in Uachtaráid. She did, she went all over the world. She did a few cruises and things like that. And, she lived life to the end. It was unfortunate that it was a terminal cancer that normally is only 9 months. And Siobhan, her sister, is very upset and related with the health services in England, on the basis that there's absolutely no help for people that get this.
Well, may Baroness Margaret MacDonagh, may she rest in peace, because she was one hell of a lady, same age as me, and we had a lot in common, but her cousin indeed, Tomás, will be joining us there. But may she rest in peace, and her funeral is on the 19th of July. It's our wedding anniversary, actually, now that I say it like that. But we wish her sister, Siobhan, the best, and to the extended family, our condolences go to all involved. May she rest in peace. She was just a lovely person. And I remember coming into the studio, Tom used to bring her into us, and she'd give you the the thoughts of the day. She was just a lovely person. May she rest in peace, though.
Galway Talks in association with Tesco. Discover exciting global flavours with Tesco's finest barbecue range. That's dinner sorted.
A very good morning to welcome into today's programme. We're going back to the whole cancer situation because Athenry Cancer Care is celebrating 20 years in existence this coming Saturday. And Athenry Cancer Care is celebrating 20 years in existence. I'm joined on the line by Owen Divany from Athenry Cancer Care. Owen, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith, and thanks very much for having us on.
Thanks for joining us today. Again, it's critical, so it is, to have cancer care. And they're dotted. I mean, there's one in Tuam, there's Athenry, there's Gort, and there's East Galway and Midlands in Ballinasloe as well. But it's the impact that they're making on people at a very difficult time.
Yeah, and that's one of the pillars of the Athenry Cancer Care Centre. Provides a voluntary support service for people on the cancer journey. And the centre offers a holistic approach, recognising that each person who is on a cancer journey is not just a body to be treated, but his body, mind, soul and spirit, all in one, in need of nurture.
Yeah,
and all our services are provided on free of charge.
And how are you funded, Owen, can I ask you?
Yeah, well, the funding down through the years, our primary fundraise was the Ladies' Mini Marathon. And in recent years, like last year, we had a team of people from Athenry do a Gale Force fundraiser back in Connemara, and that covered our annual cost.
And again,
obviously through kind donations of local people as well, especially around times of funeral, etc.
And how many clients would you have roughly now on
We have 90. Some of those are actively going through cancer treatment, and some of them would have been through cancer treatment in the past.
And again, you're there just to support them, you're there to listen, but you're also there to give them respite from that care that they're in the midst of.
Yeah, we're there obviously to offer support and healing to people with any form of cancer, help those people to achieve peace of mind through their various relaxation therapies. And obviously strengthen the body through stress reduction. We have a counselling service available to all our guests as well. And facilitate people in a confidential way with unconditional positive regard for those people to share their fears and feelings.
And where are you?
And obviously not just the people that are going through it, but obviously those caring for people with cancer diagnosis also need support from time to time.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose we always think of the bigger charities like the Cancer Care West and the support centre that they have there, but we have to remember the likes of Athenry and Tuam and Gort and Ballinasloe, they just have to be supported, because it's when that person gets the diagnosis or they get the call from the doctor to say, look, there's something abnormal there and we need to have a chat about it, they freeze. They don't know where to go.
Yeah, absolutely, Keith. And that's why we're there to do that. We have 20... trained local volunteers. We run 5 sessions each week. As I said, we have different support services through. We have Reiki, we have massage, we have bone therapy, we have manual lymph drainage, we have counselling, and various other relaxation therapies. And all of those are there for people, but we have professional people that meet and greet our guests, you know, in an unconditional positive regard for those guests in a safe, confidential environment, like, you know.
Yeah, it really is. What would the main pressures that you, would it be availability of people, or what are the main pressures that would be on you now from an Athenry Cancer Care point of view?
Well, the main pressure, Keith, is just obviously getting volunteers, but we're very fortunate in the community in Athenry, where people tend to give of themselves, you know, in that unconditional, free way. Like, and we have 20 people, we have 10 that would operate one week, and then the next week the other 10 would operate. And that has worked down through the years for us. But we're always looking for new people to come on board, and we will facilitate an induction course to bring them on board so that they're trained in dealing with people with cancer diagnosis.
Now, celebrating 20 years is quite an achievement. How are you going to mark it on Saturday the 1st of July?
Well, we have True Creation Kitchens. They've kindly helped us towards the cost of the Galway Bay FM Roadcaster. That's going to be on site. It was originally scheduled from 11 to 1, but it's there from 9 until 12, and we're going to share guest stories between 9 and 10. Nuala King, one of our key founders of our organisation, will speak in the first hour, and we have a guest story as well. And then between 11 and 12, we have 2 more guest stories. And so the formal proceedings will kick off around 2 p.m. Professor Frank Sullivan, radiation oncologist in the Galway Clinic, he will come out and talk positively about cancer and give a realistic message around it. Then we have a lady called Judith Ashton. She's going to come also and talk about the complementary therapies that we offer it, that we operate, and the benefits of those. We will plant a decorative tree in the celebration of our 20 years and have a blessing from one of our guests, Father Jimmy Buckley. And then we have a choir as well, the Athenry Cancer Care Choir, who's been one of our fundraising arms down through the years. They will kick off the kind of entertainment procedures approximately around 3:30, and that will continue up to 5:30 with various other local musicians, again, giving freely of service music to, we expect between 100 to 200 people to visit the site on the day.
Wow. And I hope you get a good crowd, because I think once you get, once you open the doors like that for a celebration like the 20th, and you mentioned Professor O'Sullivan, you could stand in the snow and listen to him, because he speaks frank.
Absolutely, Keith.
Frank just speaks from the heart. He's a wonderful person. But it's by getting people in while they're well and showing them and celebrating with you, then they may know somebody or themselves that may need to use the facilities of Athenry Cancer Centre or Athenry Cancer Care in the future. And they might say, hang on a second, 1st of July a few years ago, I was in Athenry at a celebration, and then that brings them back into the fold. So it's about disseminating the information that can help people.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I not have a fear of coming in and talking in a confidential way to a caring listener, like, you know, as that all our volunteers are trained. And it's just to have the confidence to take that step and talk if you're in need of help.
That's the most important.
And your family.
That's the most, yeah. And the extended family. I came across somebody recently who had just been recently diagnosed, and good Lord, they weren't owned even, they weren't in the best place altogether. And I was delighted I bumped into them. And I told them about Cancer Care West in Galway City, because they're based in Knockacarra. And they came back about 3 or 4 days later and said, thank you, I feel much better now. And it was just the fact that I knew what Cancer Care West did. I was a director of Cancer Care West for a long number of years, but I know the work that they did. But it was lovely to get the call back to say, I'm feeling a bit better now. But they're on the journey. They're still on the journey. So, you know, the people of, like you, Owen Divney, and your 20 volunteers and the people that work there and the professionals that do the counselling there, to be commended. So this coming Saturday, so 9 o'clock onwards, basically, you'll have the door kicked open.
Yeah, we'll be there at 8:30 to meet Galway Bay FM and get them connected up, and then kick it on from there, then, Keith, like, you know.
All right. Owen, good luck with it, and keep up the good work. And we're always here if we can support you in any way. We are here to help. And thank you indeed for taking time out and taking a call today. I got a note from Lucy Walsh in Uchtarard, as chairperson of the Friends of Liff Kane campaign. I would like to thank most sincerely all the very kind and generous people, businesses and companies, and those who organised events, to everyone that supported, donated and helped out in raising the fantastic sum of €105,180.37 is lodged into the Bank of Ireland Saltail under the Friends of Liff Kane account. I will have a mass offered at Knock Shrine for all of your intentions, and that comes with many thanks from Lucy Walsh in Uchtarard. And I do know that I remember Johnny Smith was heavily involved in that. The wonderful Johnny Smith. I don't know where he gets his energy from, by the way, anyway. And he knows all about cancer. But thank you indeed to all involved in that, and to Lucy Walsh and to Johnny Smith and all the fundraising that he's done as well. €105,180.37. It's a lot of money, and we'll find out when they decide what to do with it. We'll let you know from there. Keith, this caller said, if Ryan Tubby gets his job back, he'll find it hard to face the 200 people that went out on strike. And Keith, would you do me a favour? I will. What can I do for you? Would you check out the general consensus of the public out there about discontinuing the Late Late Show altogether? I think that'd be a huge mistake altogether. Patrick Keelty is taking it over. Ryan did a fantastic job at it. He really did. He was a superb broadcaster. But what do you think? Would you find out the general consensus of the public about discontinuing the Late Late Show? You can do so if you want to. Keith, I'm sure people are sick and tired of listening about Ryan Tubridy. He's being crucified. I was listening to the news this morning where a young girl of 14 was waiting 5 years for surgery for scoliosis. And she was so bad that she could barely breathe. Simon Harris promised nobody would be waiting more than 4 months. And there are 130 people still waiting for surgery for same. If the same level of investigation went into seeing why these people are waiting so long for these surgeries, it'd be better off. Keith, you might ask Kieran Cannon about this. You're dead right, so you are. A bunch of keys was last near Londis in Merview, now Tesco in Merview. Oh, maybe it's Londis still, sorry. Londis in Merview at 8 a.m. If anybody found them or handed them in anywhere, could you please contact reception here in Galway Bay FM at 091-770-0077. And if anybody lost a wallet with cards and cash in the vicinity of Air Square, it has been handed in to Mill Street Garda Station. So it's been handed in to Mill Street Garda Station if you want to pop down and collect it from there. And another caller has been on to us today to say, Keith, the Ryder Cup. So we'll give you the winner of that in association with all the gang in Swing in Oranmore. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, by the way, we'll come to you live in Gallant's Hotel. We have a wonderful programme tomorrow morning. Community Matters goes out and about. We're going to Gallant's Hotel. We'll be there good and early. And we'll park up and we'll be having a cup of tea. But if you're in and around the Ballinasloe area and you want to pop in and see how we do things, feel free to do so. Tomás Galán and all the crew there are looking after us for the morning. So please pop in tomorrow morning between 9 and 12 live from Gallant's Hotel in Ballion and Nohosh Lewis. So pop in, say hello, and we're going to have some good fun there. Now let's head towards the 11 o'clock news and death notices. Stay tuned for that and more to come.
Galway Talks in association with Tesco. Look for the Price Cuts logo across hundreds of products in store and online.